to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 5 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to go park by park and talk about our favorite rides. We're going to try to give you a little description of what the ride's about, where it's located, and why we like it so much. So here we go. This is Ed.
This is Jimmy.
This is Farrah.
This is Tom.
And here we go. Now, one of the classic shows you hear on all the podcasts are what the podcaster's favorite rides are. So we're going to go park by park, and we're going to take turns and talk about what our favorite ride is in that park. And I think we're going to try starting with maybe Hollywood Studios, and we'll keep on going. So we're going to start Hollywood Studios, and we're going to start with Jimmy. Jimmy, give me what your best ride is at the studios.
I think my favorite ride at the studios is going to be Tower of Terror. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough because Rock and Roller Coaster is such a great ride, but... Tower of Terror, from the minute you walk into it, the theming, I mean, it just looks like an old abandoned hotel. Just the amount of theming that goes into it, if you took the theming away from it and just did the drop, I don't think it would be nearly as good, but the whole buildup is fantastic.
I agree. That one is absolutely my favorite as well in that park. And, I mean, just the music and the fog that they kind of have coming out and the sounds of screams. Just get your knees wobbling before you're even on the elevator. I love it, love it, love it, love it. I love that ride.
Even the cast members, I mean, they really get into character. And, they take it to a whole nother level on that one.
Yeah, I like the pre-show they do, too. I mean, it's so well done. And the guy that does the voice of Rod Sterling is it sounds identical to him. And they do such a great job of that.
Yeah, they really did a good job patching him in and making it seem seamless. Like, that was something that they would have recorded with Rod Sterling.
Yeah, and you know what I like about that? Now, how many years has that attraction been open? It's been some time now. But it never, at least to me... It never feels dated. It never got to that point where it kind of felt like, yeah, here I am again on this ride. It's the same old thing. Yeah, there's Rod Serling. You know, I mean, I love it still. It's still, I get just excited every time I go, and I've been a lot, you know.
I think the biggest thing in the past couple of years that they've done was to change that whole drop sequence. They were able to smarten up the computers in there. And every time you go on that ride, you don't know how that drop sequence is going to go. I tell you, the last time we were on it, we were already down to the bottom where we thought the ride was over into that last room where it shot us back up to the roof again. So you really don't know.
Awesome
that is my
that,
favorite
though.
Thing. That
You're
is
ready
my
to
favorite
get
thing
off.
About it. Yeah, you never, never, never know how many times you're going to go. And every time we ride it now, because they've got that whole randomizer thing going, every time we're all like, do it again, do it again, do it again.
Definitely waiting for the next one.
I love watching people like ride their first time on it. Just watching the people that's never been on it before, like, makes the whole experience for me, because like, they have no idea what's coming up and you're just waiting for their reaction as what's going to happen next.
I was a couple weeks ago when I was there, we met some people that were from New Orleans but live live in Orlando, and they're actually in the process of moving to the Orlando area. And he actually, his belt came undone in the ride. He's a big guy. So he was able to, I think he was in the back row, so he was able to just kind of put his hands up and kind of almost keep himself, you know, stable.
Hang on.
Oh, wow.
But could you imagine? I mean, I think that's a game changer for me. I don't think I could ride a good enough for that.
Well, and you can get an idea of how much, I guess, negative G's there are. The last time the camera case was equal to, like, our head because we were hanging onto it, and it went to the end of the strap and then went back down and back and forth. So,
I love that feeling. I love when, before they changed the seat belts, when in the back row in the middle, you had just the little lap belt, not the pull down or, you know. And I used to love getting in that seat and just holding my hands up and just go, oh, God, it was so much fun. You know, you were talking about the people's first time. My son, who is 8 now, his first time on it, he probably was, I mean, it was just, he had just reached the height thing, and he's game for anything. And he might have been 5 or 6. He was young. And he was just more concerned about it being scary. He's like, Mom, is this scary? I'm like, yeah, Deacon, this is scary, but it's fun, too. The whole way up in the line, it's, Mom, is this fun, too? Yep, that's fun, too, Deacon. The whole time we were in there. So we get on the ride. We ride the ride. And does this little thing and goes up and down and up and down. And it turns and it goes towards the end. And then, you know, how that last little part where there's a spiel where the next time you get in an elevator, you know, that kind of thing. He says that, and it got quiet, and Deacon looks at me and goes, Mom, the Tower of Terror is not fun. I'm like, oh, my poor kid.
at least he wasn't crying.
Oh, fun. He wasn't. He was just like, no way. That was not fun.
Man, you told me this is a lot of things. Not fun. Fun was not fun.
Oh, well, very cool, Jimmy. Now, Farrah, does that count as your favorite ride at Disney Hollywood Studios, too?
Yeah, it definitely does. That's why I couldn't shut up whenever Jimmy was talking about it. I love it. Hands down, not even a competition.
Okay. Very cool. Tom, how about you? What do you like at Hollywood Studios?
Well, that's actually my favorite, too. But let's shake it up a little bit. I'm going to talk about the new redone Star Wars ride. That's another randomized thing. There's like 36 or something. Isn't like 36 different experiences you can get with that?
Yeah, it's something like that.
At least.
So I mean, I loved it, and then I didn't. The old version, it was okay. It wasn't worth the exponential wait to get on it. But I thought since they've redone it, it's a completely new experience, just having C-3PO now being your driver and not that other, random robot.
Yeah.
And the 3D effects with it, and like when Darth Vader comes out, wants to knock your ship down, and I mean, everything about it is just unbelievable. I absolutely love the way they've redone the Star Tours.
And yeah, I think there's some rumors out right now that, they're looking to maybe expand that whole Star Wars area.
Yes. Yes. So, that would be awesome.
I don't know. You never know what's rumors and what's going to come to fruition. But, I mean, at one time, the Fantasyland expansion was just a rumor. And so I think they try and keep a tight lip on that as much as possible. But that is the rumor out right now, that they're going to look to expand that area. God knows they...
I heard they're going to turn the backlot counter service into like the Star Wars Cantina. So
that'd be cool.
That's a good idea. I like that. They could make more Star Wars themed stuff. I would love that. I mean, I think they have those Star Wars days, and what is it, May? They get such a big response. I think it would be very well received.
Oh, that and the other, I think the other rumor is that they're going to eventually get rid of Lights, Motors, Action and kind of make that kind of what they did in Disneyland, kind of a Cars area.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard they've just re-signed new contracts with that, right, with that attraction. You could be right, but I've also heard that they just re-upped their contract for that.
God, I hope not. And you know what? It's not a terrible show, but it's one of those things that once you've seen it once, it's kind of like, nah.
It's once every couple visits. It's once every maybe three or four visits for us.
Yeah, probably the same for us. But it's definitely, again, going back to what I said about Captain Jack, it's more of a distraction than an attraction. And it eats up a lot of people. It does. I mean, they pull a lot of people into that that stadium area. So,
Well, it's kind of funny nobody mentioned Toy Story Mania as their favorite ride, considering that's the first one we all run to in the morning.
Well, I think I'm probably the only person in the world that does not like that ride. I can't stand
what?
It.
I've started feeling the spin motion, because right now I can't do any of the spinning rides. So the teacups are out, and the Astro Orbiters are out, because I start feeling that little queasiness going on there. Yeah. And I think the last time on Toy Story Mania, as you're going between the different between the different screens, I started having that little feeling, although it's not going to keep me off the ride.
No.
However, my favorite at Hollywood Studios is also Star Tours. Star Tours has always been my favorite since it first came into Hollywood Studios. And with the upgrade that they did a couple years ago, it's all in the details. Now I almost regret getting on the Fast Pass line because I can't stand in line to see the droid scanning all our luggage and things like that. Or the window that looks through to a busy hallway above us that people are walking past to see the silhouettes of different characters that we've known through the Star Wars universe. Even to the point outside where if you are in a long enough line, you wait through the Ewok village. At night, for some reason, it must be perhaps because that's when the party happens at the Ewok village, but you hear the Ewok sound effects coming from the top trees and things like that.
I've heard that. I've heard that said. I don't know that I've ever heard it, though.
We've heard that. So it's really cool in the details that they have there that it just makes the ride that much more enjoyable. And now being able to have different aspects of the ride where you're going to different planets and you're playing different parts, and if you're lucky enough, you're the spy. I don't think I'm ruining anything by telling that on every ship there's a spy that helps the Rebel Alliance. My son Quinn on the last trip was this Rebel spy. And it was like probably... Oh, yeah, it's awesome. And when you go to the store, there's actually a shirt that says, I was the Rebel spy. So you can kind of buy that as a memory sake. But we were on that ride probably like 20-odd times before one of us was the spy. So I'm not sure exactly how they're picking that out.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's part of the storyline where that's who they're looking for in the beginning. Usually it's the Stormtroopers or Darth Vader. They're trying to find who the Rebel spy is because they think they're being transported around on the Star Tours attraction. And by the end of the ride, or they show who the actual spy is, and what they did is they took a photograph of somebody that just walked onto the ride. So it's always somebody current inside there. Usually it's a kid. More than likely, it's always a kid. And as far as the store goes, you can find anything Star Wars in there. The latest thing is the droids, where you can buy parts and you can make your own special droids. They're only about maybe 2 inches tall, and I'm not sure the logic of this one. But before that, they had the lightsabers, which you could buy the different parts and make your own lightsabers to be different colors, sound differently, and things like that. They still have that lightsaber thing there, and I think it's over at Downtown Disney, the toy store there.
It is. And there's also the little robot thing at Downtown Disney. We went into, what is it, Once Upon a Toy? Is the toy store down at Downtown Disney?
Right.
And so they had both. They had the lightsaber and the little droid station where you can build your own droid. But the one in the store, the Tatooine Traders, there was actually a cast member there. I guess because so many people passed through there getting off the ride, that the little kids, I mean, they had it like roped off. Like you had to wait for him to let you in to go build the droid.
That would make sense. It's almost like samples on your way out of the ride. So
yeah.
I could see people just reaching in. Okay, well, we're going to move on to Epcot next. And we're going to start this one with Farrah. Farrah, what's your favorite ride at Epcot?
Okay, I know probably this is, everybody's like, what? But my favorite is actually the Norway ride. I love the little Norway ride.
Yeah, what?
The number one reason I love the Norway ride is because when the Norway ride came out, I was probably late teens, college age, and they have the hottest guys in Norway. So we spent a lot of time in Norway.
Farrah, the cast members that work in Norway are not considered an attraction.
Oh, I beg to differ. So anyway, okay, I love that ride from the very, very moment it opened. That is my absolute favorite still to this day.
Oh, very cool.
I love the troll with the big eye, you know, coming out, and the going backwards. And I know it's very short, and it's not much to it, but so, I love it.
Let me ask you a question. So is that something you do every time you go to Disney World?
Oh, absolutely. I do it a couple times, and I even...
Do you watch the show?
And the movie, yes.
Watch the movie?
Oh, I tear up a little. Yes, I watch the show. I love the show. I love Norway. I love Vikings, you know?
My favorite part is the oil rig scene.
Yes. I always hope that somebody I'm with gets splashed, especially if it's their first time on the ride.
Have you been in the Stav Church?
No. Can you go in there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a little museum inside there with Eric the Red and a couple other Vikings and some stories. Very, very cool.
I did not know that. And you don't know how much time I have spent in it. But then, of course, it was mainly looking at the Norwegian guys. So.
I will say that me and my wife both have cologne, and my wife has perfume from there.
Oh.
Okay. So, Tom, tell us about Epcot. What do you like there?
You know, it's kind of another obscure ride. I mean, I'm kind of trying to stay away from the obvious ones, but so that was, I think it's a ride most people, like, don't like, but I like the energy ride. I really do. I know it's long. I know it's really long, actually, but I get a kick out of every time. I like Ellen DeGeneres, so I think she's, you know, a very humorous comedian, so I think she really makes that ride worth going on to. So I really enjoy that ride. I don't know if I can explain it, because I just have fun with it. I like all the different scenes to go through. I know it's kind of outdated. I know the video is probably 10, 15 years old, but I still get a kick out of every time we go on that.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I agree with you totally. I go on Ellen's Energy Adventure every time we're there. The depressing part is, though, the story is still relevant. We haven't gotten much further past that movie as far as finding alternative sources for energy. We're still exploring all the things that Ellen and Bill Nye talk about in that show, and we really haven't found a definitive next answer. So I think it actually kind of still fits into play, and maybe that's why it's lasted so long. It is definitely a time killer, though. I think it's about 45 minutes. That's one that they'll warn you before you go into, before Illumination starts, because people have probably been upset that the ride took so long and they missed the fireworks and stuff.
The ride, once you leave the show area, which I don't know how long that is, but they tell you, because we just went on it, and it's 37 minutes.
Wow.
Once you get in the ride vehicle, it's 37 minutes.
Yeah, so about 45 total, I'd say.
Yeah, probably pretty close to that. And that's if you catch it right, where you're walking in when the video starts.
Right. But it's really cool, and the video switches screens and keeps you attentive. And, I like Bill Nye, the science guy, too. He's one of my big sources of science information growing up.
Well, for me and... So me and Farrah, Ellen's a local, so.
Yeah, I love her. I think she is hysterical.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Yeah. She's a New Orleans girl, so.
Tom, anything special on that ride that really sticks out for you?
I just think it's the humor. I mean, I love when they're going through the dinosaurs and Ellen's trying to fight off some other, I don't know the name of the dinosaur off the top of my head, but it's just the comedic timing of it and the relevance that it comes along with it. And at the very end, when she just starts killing that Judy gal on Jeopardy at the end, and she's, you know, just one after this stupid Judy. I always remember that line.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
Yep. Oh, yeah, so classic. A small tip for that ride is that the front left car leaves first. We were in the back right one time, and it just took us forever to get out of the station. And a lot of the shows start before you even get into the room, where they start doing the countdown on the radio and such like that with Willard Scott. But all in all, very, really, really fun ride.
When we were there, we rode front left, like the first row in the front left car, and it's the first one to go. You're right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to get moving in there.
And it's pretty. Not only that, but if you can get in that car, there's nobody. You know, you're not in the train of people. You don't see the train of people in front of you. You're kind of the front guy. So when you're coming out into those dinosaur worlds, you know what I'm saying? They're right there.
Mm-hmm. As far as Epcot rides for myself, I'm gonna go with the real popular Soarin'. I still really get a thrill going on Soarin'. It's our first stop of the day because that line gets so big as the day goes on. And even though it's still the California theme, I still love it. I mean, the music's incredible, the special effects are incredible, just the whole feel of the ride. And I've been going on that ride with my kids since they've gone on the rides for the first time. And that one always sticks out for us when we go to Epcot. If I had to pick a second, real quick second, it would be Mission Space, because where else can you really go to space? That's, I think, pretty much right on as far as the blasting off experience.
But you know Orange?
Either. To me, I don't really feel a difference.
No? I've never been on Green.
I actually, it was funny because the first time I went on it was after all those different people had issues and things like that. So I kind of counted this as a cardiac tester. I'm like, okay, let's go full ride. Yeah, no problem. It's great, you know. So I'm good for the next one.
Well.
But we'll go on either. We go on whatever line is the shortest. And usually the easier ride is the shorter line. And I don't think it's that much of a difference as far as the feel to it. So, yeah, whatever line is shorter for that.
It doesn't leave you feeling sick or nauseous at all?
Not at all. And like I was saying before, I can't go on the teacup ride at all. I'll feel bad for like 45 minutes after that guy.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. Yeah. I'm right there with you spinning stuff.
But Mission Space doesn't affect me either side, though. I don't know if it's because you're not seeing yourself spin. It's more of like the feel inside there. Maybe it's more my eyes tricking me. I don't know.
It just don't look to the side, because then you're done.
That's what's so great about Mission Space, that you've got such a great thing to look at straight ahead of you that there's no reason really to look left to right other than somebody getting sick next to you. But that's never happened. That's never happened on any of the rides I've been on Mission Space.
I never get to go on it. My wife can't ride it. She can't stand it, so she doesn't like it. And so I hate to go by myself, but
you know,
I'm gonna have to hitchhike over next time you go to Disney, Ed. I guess I'm gonna have to come with you.
Out of any park in the world, I think Disney is one of the best parks you can go on rides solo. I don't think that matters. And you know what? The rides are so extravagant that you end up kind of making friends with whoever you're online with as you're getting closer to that ride. It's amazing how that works.
And I guess my thing is not me worried about riding by myself, but more worried about leaving her by herself while I go ride.
Oh, and again, it's Walt Disney World. I don't want to say it's the safest place, but I'd leave the kids waiting for me. Now they're 12 and 14.
No. I don't think there's anything going to happen to her, but it's just the two of us, so she's just sitting there by herself.
Oh, well, then she could ride the ride next time. It's her, it's her choice.
That's what I said.
It's her choice. Yep.
Now, this is crazy, but I mean, I love space. Love everything to do with space. I used to want to be an astronaut, but I have the same effect with the you guys talked about with the teacups. So, and I never want to spend a trip being sick. So I have never even stepped into that pavilion.
Well, you could try the easy one that doesn't spin. That just tips you back and things like that.
You know, the one that doesn't spin would be equivalent to Star Tours, right?
No, it's not even that shaky. Star Tours moves you around a lot. Mission Space, you basically, for the takeoff, you go on your back and then, you know, simulate the takeoff. And then in space, you have the negative Gs. And then when you have the thrusters again, that's when I guess the real ride spins, because then you kind of go back into your seat, like you accelerate in your car. It's not really as rough as Star Tours, I remember, at all. Leslie won't go on Star Tours anymore because of that. She'll go in Mission Space. Leslie's my wife. But Star Tours, and that was the same problem she always had with the one in the Life Pavilion at Epcot, too, the Body Wars one, because it just moved around. It was just shaking you up. Although I tell you, Star Tours now isn't as bad as it was. But yeah, so the Mission Space isn't bad. I would give the easy ride a shot toward the end of your trip.
Oh yeah. Next time I go, I'm definitely going to do it. I am definitely going to. I can't believe that I've not gone yet. That makes me kind of aggravated with myself being a wuss.
You're calling yourself out. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on. Jimmy, what's your favorite ride at Epcot?
All right, can I pass American Adventure off as a ride?
Yeah, definitely.
So, I know, I mean, because it's kind of, it's because it's kind of different, right? Because it's not really a show like a live show, but it's
right,
not
it's
really
got animatronics.
A
ride. Sure.
So it doesn't really move, so it's not necessarily a ride, but I would consider it more of an attraction than a show. So that would definitely have to be my favorite, with the close second being Spaceship Earth with Jeremy Irons narrating.
I don't know if we could go back in time like that.
But
right,
I'm just saying. That'd be
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not so crazy about Dame Judi Dench. But American Adventure's got to be my favorite. It's one of the things that I have to do every time we go. Even though the kids sometimes, when we do go with the kids, they don't necessarily feel the same way. But from the pre-show, I mean, if you would call it that, I guess the pre-show would be the Voices of Liberty. I bought their CDs. I think they're fantastic. I think the show's fantastic. It's very emotional. Brings tears to my eyes every time we go. So that's definitely got to be my number one thing to do in Epcot.
Okay. Well, that was a good spin through Epcot. There were some good surprises in there. Let's move on to Animal Kingdom. And we're going to start with Tom with this park.
Animal Kingdom. It's got to be Expedition Everest. It's the theming for that ride starts. You're not even really close to the ride. I just watched a kind of a limited time magic tour of that of Expedition Everest last night actually, and there's this part where in Asia that there's this little shrine, and the outline of the shrine outlines the mountain background. It's the amount of detail they've put into that ride, the amount of research, sending Imagineers to Nepal for months upon end and to make sure everything's right, and just everything they put into that, and then the ride itself, you know, it's a backwards going roller coaster. I mean, how cool is that? And it's just so much pieces into that ride that make it really feel like you're in Asia, going into this mountain to see the protector of the mountain. I just love it. It's fast. It's long. It's just an exhilarating ride for a park that really doesn't have, I think, the amount of rides overall as the other parks have. To me, that one's number one then with the bullet point.
Let me tell you, as much as I'm not sure that I'm excited about the new Avatar thing and Animal Kingdom, the fact that, you know, Joe Rohde did such an excellent job of most things at Animal Kingdom as far as detail, and he's involved in that Avatar Land thing. I can't imagine it's not going to be pretty fantastic once it's built and said and done. I'm not a huge fan of Avatar, but everybody wants to see something new, and you know, I'm sure it's going to be. I'm sure as much as it can be spot on with the theme that they have, I'm sure it's going to be taken to the umpteenth degree. You know,
I think the jury's still out on that one. We'll have to see. I
just saw some artist renderings of that. It looked amazing.
Right, I saw somebody on the Nerds page posted. I think Jimmy did, or somebody did some whatever the newest thing was.
Yeah, I
shared
it. Yeah,
we'll see. We'll take a look. Okay, Everest is, yep, I totally agree with Everest. One quick thing I have for Everest is that it's probably the best ride to use the single rider line. We usually get to the parks. If it's crowded, we get our fast pass. We get on the ride. We use the fast pass. And then we'll use the single rider line. There's not a lot of wait time to get onto that. Like Rock and Roller Coaster single rider can be hit or miss. You can be on that quick. You can be on that for 45 minutes. Everest, though, it's always been fast for us. So it might be an alternative. You won't ride with the person necessarily, but you still might get on the same train. Worst case, we wait by the TVs where all the pictures are displayed after the ride, and then we get together family-wise there.
Yeah, agreed. We do the same thing. You know, in fact, I mean, if I can't get a fast pass, you know, I'm not waiting in the regular line. So we'll do the single rider line. The only thing that kind of held me back was the last couple times, my kids, because they weren't big enough or old enough the time before last, I think, to ride by themselves. But normally, yeah, we do that. My favorite ride there is not Expedition Everest, even though I love Roller Coaster Rides and I love it, and I love the theming and I love the way it builds, your excitement is built about it, at, you know, all through the park as you're walking up, the way everything frames it, you know. But my favorite would have to be the Safari Ride. I love the Safari Ride. Now, you know, forgetting the little cheesy, but, you know, kind of old because you've been on it so many times, save the elephant thing. I just love the ride. Love the animals.
They don't do that.
I was going to say, that's gone
they
now.
Don't, yeah, they don't do that anymore.
We're not saving oh. elephants anymore. We're just on a joyride now.
Yeah, there's really no... I mean, they still do the whole...
It's been just a little while.
There's still the whole... Well, this just recently changed. I think not that long ago. But now you just... They still do the whole two-week safari thing, but... Other than that, there's no real purpose to your journey. You're just on a safari.
That's true. Cool. I can't remember how they turn us around so quickly anymore. Because it used to be because the elephant was being poached and we had to go help rescue the baby and then we had to go back to the, you know, the original base camp. How do they get us back now? I'll have to
pay attention. They just say, you know, I hope you enjoyed your two-week adventure or something like that.
Right. Disbelief.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the ride.
It's fantastic.
Some of the coolest things, you know, have happened with them. We had a crazy, crazy encounter with an ostrich. One of the funniest animal things I've ever seen. Like suddenly the ostrich, you know, discovered vehicles. It freaked it out. Thought that our vehicle was gonna attack it, and it went into ostrich defense mode. And you know what an ostrich looks like? A big ball and then a big neck and head. And I mean, that thing, it was like running back, zigging and zagging, trying to get away from us at full speed. But because of the long neck, like the neck was going one way and the body was going another way and the head was going another way. And it was zigging and zagging. Like it looked like a cartoon. And everybody cracked up laughing and looked at each other and was like, why weren't we recording? I just love the ride.
Yeah, it's always the way.
We talked about, you know, earlier in the show, we talked about Tower of Terror and Star Tours and how every time you go on, it can be a different ride. Well, the Safari Ride, every time you go on, it's a different ride, right? So it's endless. You can ride it once and get right back on it and see something completely different than you had before. So every ride is a new ride. It's never the same.
Yep. Well, I agree there.
And a tip that most people probably know by now, but... you know, for that ride, you go early in the morning or like the last one, and the animals tend to be a little more active, I guess, because of, I don't know, feeding time or whatever, but they seem to be more active at the very, very, very beginning of the day, especially.
The only thing that we did one, not this past trip, but the trip before, we went like early in the morning, like one of the first rides, and, you generally won't see the elephants if you do that first ride. Because they kind of let them out of their home or whatever, and they let them kind of just meander over to that area. So it takes them a little while to get there. So, I mean, the guide even explained it to us. He said, you know, they're not here yet, but he explained to us that they kind of just give them their own time to make it over there.
One quick thing that you mentioned about where the elephants come from and things like that. They have a tour at Animal Kingdom, so you could see those areas. But if you don't want to spend the money and take the tour, if you go to Rafiki's Planet Watch, where you take that train, you go to the little area where they have the petting zoo.
Yep.
You go inside, and they have a bank of TV cameras, or TVs, and they have controls on video cameras that are all over the animal paddock areas.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, it was cool, because they had a rhinoceros and a baby rhino in there, because I guess the baby was so young, they weren't letting her around on the safari at this point. So you could kind of move the camera over, you could look down, see the animals, and it was pretty cool.
I thought where you were going with that was when you take the train, that train passage, you kind of buy a lot of places where they keep a lot of the animals.
Oh, that's right. That's true, too. You're right.
Yeah, I thought that's where you were going
with that. Well, I'm thinking that these cameras were basically in their side there, so that makes a lot of sense then.
Well, I mean, when you're on the train, you kind of see it. You really can't see anything what's going on. You just see the big, huge building, so... That is interesting that those cameras are in there and you can kind of really get a peek inside.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Jimmy, we're with you as far as Animal Kingdom goes. What's your favorite ride over there?
I'm going to have to go with Expedition Everest. And I agree with everything Tom said. It has a lot to do, almost the same thing that we were talking about with Tower of Terror. Just the theming. It's themed so strong, and it's really fun just because the story builds. I actually had when we were there a couple weeks ago, you know, I heard this couple talking behind me, and they really thought, like, the girl really thought, like, the Yeti was, like, when you're walking through and then you see, like, the footprint and stuff like that and the skull, she thought she was all in. I felt bad breaking her heart, but, you know, I'm like, no, babe, it's not real. This is all...
What?
Oh, sure, ruin her fun.
Well, I mean, if she thought it was real and then she got in the mountain and saw the Yeti, I probably saved her from a heart attack.
That's the whole point of the ride.
Oh, Jimmy, killer of Disney magic.
I know. I'm like...
That's what happens when you don't go with kids.
Really? That's not really Tinkerbell flying from the castle, right.
She was all in. She's like, oh my god, look what it did to that tent. I'm like, oh my god.
I mean, that stuff's not real in the line?
What?
One time when I was going through the line on the Everest ride, I guess you pass a counter that had... Wow, was this Everest or was it Safari? No, this was Everest. There's a counter that had a phone at the desk. It looks like it was like a reception desk or something. Well, while we were walking past it, the phone went off, and there was actually an answering machine that was for a tour group that was going up Everest, and to leave a message, and they would get back to you. Pretty
that's
cool, awesome. A little bit of realism.
Yeah, it's awesome.
My favorite ride in Animal Kingdom actually is Dinosaur. I gave this a lot of thought, and my knee-jerk was definitely Everest, and if we're talking shows, probably Nemo. But the more and more I thought about it, I thought that basically Dinosaur was a really good ride. It's got a really great idea story-wise because it comes from the Dinosaur movie, which I thought was a breakthrough movie. That was that one that had the real live, like, outdoor scenes that they had computer-animated dinosaurs and animals running around. So I thought that was always cool. And the ride kind of matched that, the whole idea of it. Plus, you had Felicia Rashad in it. You had the guy from CSI, one of the scientists that helped out the main characters of the show. He was in it, too. And the whole story was a great story. And what really nailed it for me on the dinosaur ride was that usually when you get off the ride, you look at the TV screen so you can see the picture that they took on the ride when the big dinosaur came out and scared everybody in your car. Well, if you turn around on the other side, there's a monitor there. And the monitor actually is showing a video of what's going on inside that laboratory. Because what happened was the dinosaur made it back with you. And the dinosaur is walking through the hallways while Felicia Rashad, the other scientists, and a bunch of security guards are running around the hallways looking for it. And the camera keeps switching out to different scenes. So you see the dinosaur coming up, looking in the camera, then walking past. Then you see the scientist running by, kind of a little Benny Hill-like, but, you know, not as quick. But it really completed that whole story of bringing the dinosaur back from the pre-Cretaceous or wherever we went to. So I thought it was a really complete attraction, and I really liked it for that. The other side of this coin is that it's in a really nice area of Animal Kingdom that's kind of by itself. It's a little bit of a break, a little bit of rest over there, and there's some really nice things outside to look at, dinosaur-wise, if you're really into dinosaurs.
And just I hate to be a spoiler. All right, spoiler alert. So, just, you know, here's my spoiler alert on the rocks. I just wrote it a couple weeks ago. They've actually changed it a little bit.
What?
When you used to ride it, you know, there was the one big, I forgot what they call it, but the big T-Rex looking thing that came from the left.
Allosaurus?
Yeah.
And then, so from the left, the big red thing, I forgot what it was called. It was,
Pterodactyl?
No, the big T-Rex looking thing. But they don't call it a T-Rex, they call it...
Carnosaurus?
Carnosaurus, yes.
Okay.
So there's a big Carnosaurus on the left, and then you go around, and there's the big Carnosaurus on the right, and he kind of yells at you, and they take your picture. Well, now they're both on the left, and it scared the crap out of me.
Good.
Because I was coming around the corner, waiting...
I don't want to know.
Okay, pick up with the spoiler alert.
So, yeah, so both of the both of the dinosaurs are on the left. And they may be still the one on the right, but it's not the one that takes your picture. Now they take your picture, he comes from the left, and it's very scary.
Well, they should always change stuff up. That's great.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Because you get used to it, and It kind of takes a little bit of the fun out of it.
Well, one of our best pictures off that ride is everybody in our car looking at the dinosaur and the rest of us looking the other way because we knew he was coming. So.
Yeah.
So. Okay, well, that was a fun ride through Animal Kingdom. So let's move on to our final park, Magic Kingdom. We're going to start with...
You need to defer to Farrah right now.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right, go, Farrah.
Ready to go. And I'll even throw in a bonus
guess.
One
at the
end.
Let me guess. Huh?
No, that was the bonus one I was going to tell you about. First, because I'll throw in my worst as well. But, yeah, my favorite, absolutely, because you get more bang for your buck, and it's fun, and I get to sing the whole time and irritate my kids. And at the end is a huge drop, which I just love, 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 is Splash Mountain. I love Splash Mountain. I love going on it many, many, many times. My favorite is to try to time it with the fireworks. Although last time we went was my son's first time on the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, and it happened to time with the fireworks. So then every time after that, he wanted to know where the fireworks were because he thought that was part of the ride. But that's a little aside. But
that's wonderful to do that, Railroad, though.
Oh, wasn't it? It was awesome. We were actually going up the incline, you know, to the big drop mm-hmm. when the fireworks were going off. It was like I cried after, you know, well, yeah, apparently I'm crying all the whole time. But it was like the perfect Disney magic moment. But damn, still, that is my second favorite.
That's your second favorite?
Yeah. My favorite is Splash Mountain. Love Splash Mountain.
Oh. They have some great Hidden Mickeys in Splash Mountain, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just love it. I love all the songs. You know, I worked I worked at the Disney store for 5 years, so I'm very, very... I'm very up on my Disney movie music.
Yeah, Zip-a-Doo-Dah would be a big song.
Oh, yeah, I know them all. And I sing them all, aggravate my kids. And then I like to trick people that haven't been there. Because, you know, there's the four drops and then the big one, or three drops and then the big one.
Sure. There's a bunch. There's a couple, is this it?
Is this it? I'm like, yes, this is it. Hold your hands up. Get ready.
Oh, that wasn't it.
There's one in the dark that my wife really loves.
Yes. So. Number three. That's number
three.
I love it.
That's the third one. It's in the dark, and it's a pretty good little drop. So.
It drops, and then it comes back up, and it's got like a little bunny hill after the drop.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have one complaint over Splash Mountain. Splash Mountain is a really good ride. I love it. We always go on it. My complaint is that when you're getting on the ride, and you're in your log, and you're going outside for the first time, and you're coming up to that little section where you're going around where everybody else is driving down that hill. Well, they have this little spray of water that's there to be kind of, I think it makes the ride a little bit more animated because the people going down the hill don't get hit with it. But if the timing's wrong and your log's going underneath that little roof to go up your first little hill there, that spray of water can dump right on top of your log and get you 10 times wetter than that final hill will get you.
That is absolutely true.
And you've never seen more people try to squeeze up in front of the log, timing out when that little piece of water is going to be coming down and hit you.
Yeah.
They do shut it off during the winter times, but it's on most of the time. And to me, that's annoying. I mean, you get soaked before you even get through the ride.
Oh, but I love it because it's part of the anticipation. It's like, oh, come on, log, move faster.
Yep,
come
exactly.
On.
We're always telling it.
Is it going to get me? And, but you bring up another point that I love about the ride. There's a whole strategy to where you sit and who you sit behind.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have my whole keep my hair. It depends on what, if it's the end of the day, I'm not too concerned. If it's the beginning of the day, I'm like, okay, I want to keep my hair looking somewhat decent. I'm going to, you know, I like sitting in the front or really in the second row so that the people in the front can get the maximum water. And then I try to make sure I'm behind somebody taller. And then I do a kind of, you know, emergency on an airplane, tuck your head in your arms kind of move. I love it. Even if I do get soaking wet, it's all part of the fun. But what's really fun, a little fun joke I like to play when I'm actually in the very front, is when the people behind you get in thinking, ah, ha, ha, y'all are going to get soaked, y'all are going to get soaked. And then I really do my emergency tuck, and they get completely blasted with water. I'm like, ha, ha, I've been on this ride before. So anyway, cool. I'll shut up about my favorite. But my most hated is the teacups. Oh, anyway.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that one. Okay, Tom, what's your Magic Kingdom ride?
Okay.
Well, there's two things I want to talk about. One is going to be Space Mountain. Mostly just because that was my first memory of Disney, of the trip when I was 8 years old. I first went the first time. My thing I remember most on that trip that is riding Space Mountain. And I just love it. It's in the dark. It's been updated. It's so much fun. I love the theming of the exit queue when you see the bar scene. I like the cast members, how they make it, they make it sound like you're getting shot to the moon, and it's just a lot of memories come back when I think of Space Mountain. So that's what I would say is my favorite in that sense. But one thing I do want, stop me if you don't think this is a ride, but because it's something I think is probably the best thing I've ever seen for interaction with kids, is Enchanted Tales with Belle. I don't want to give away too much for the people that have not experienced it, because I don't want to ruin some of the magical things that happen on that. But I like the very first, when you first get in there into Maurice's workshop, and you see something that is probably some of the coolest Imagineering I've ever seen. With that, and then with the interaction that make with the kids, with that, it's the best kids interactive thing I've ever seen Disney do, and with some of the absolute best animatronics I've ever seen. And so I don't know if it's really considered a ride, but I don't know if it's really considered a show either, because it's the guest really doing most of the work instead of the cast members. I don't know if it's ever really considered a show, but I think that for kids, it's a must-do for them, because you're going to see technology right up close that you've probably never seen before, and it's completely awesome.
Oh, it's a shame. My kids are getting older, so we let this one slip by when we were down there, so I guess we got to make the point to try it next time. Sounds like an awesome thing.
Yeah.
How does it just don't watch on YouTube first? Make it when you're there. Is the first time I've ever seen it. Because I think if you watch it on YouTube, a lot of the magic stuff that happens on it, it kind of gets ruined.
Cool. Good point.
Guys, I'm not going to lie. I just pulled my headphone. When he said, spoiler alert on Belle's thing, I pulled out my headphones. I didn't hear a word of it. I don't want to hear anything about it, though.
You're set. Nothing was spilled. Okay, Jimmy, what's your favorite at Magic Kingdom? Did you get one?
I've always had one, but it took me a little while to, because I bounced back and forth between a couple, or a few. So I'm going to go with my all-time favorite, and something we have to do multiple times over there, is going to be the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. I like that, too. That was close for me.
It is just classic Disney dark ride, and we love it. And the details in it are so ridiculous. And I don't know how many, the history of the Haunted Mansion, but it was actually two completely different concepts for one attraction that they kind of just jammed together. And you can see it, because when you start and you go through the staircase scene and you go through the ballroom and all that stuff, and it's kind of one thing, and then once you go downstairs and you see, the guy with the dog, and then the graveyard scene, it's like completely something else. So that was just a product of having two different people coming up with two different ideas, and they didn't want to, they were both such good ideas, they kind of just jammed them together, so they're completely different.
Oh, very cool. Have you ever heard the story between, or what the idea behind the rider is on that ride? Where The first half of the ride, you're a human, you're alive, and the ghosts ignore you, you know, through the ballroom, until you get through the seance and you go up in the attic. As soon as you go out of the attic, you're going backwards. That's supposedly when the bride kills herself, so that now you're represented as a spirit yourself, so that everybody in the graveyard, you can see them and they can see you.
Never heard that.
As you're going past the caretaker with his dog, he's scared and shaking, but he doesn't know why. He doesn't see the ghosts around him, so that's why he's still even standing there. He definitely feels a little chill, and he's scared, but he doesn't see that. You guys now see everything, including the hitchhiking ghosts, as you leave the ride.
I never heard that before. That's awesome.
That it is, yeah.
Creepiest things I've ever seen, but so it's really cool.
Oh, the entire ride is incredible. The music is incredible. Just trying to find out some of those details were pretty fun, too.
You know what's a really cool detail that a lot of people miss? Is at the end, at the very end, you're in the graveyard scene. On the right-hand side, there's an opera singer.
Yeah.
And she's got, like, the Viking hat.
Mm-hmm.
So the story is the show's not over till the fat lady sings. With this big, fat opera singer with this, and she's singing, like, these high notes in opera. So that's...
I never caught that. I mean, I've seen it, but I never caught it. Well, the show's over. The fat lady.
That's right. So that's one of the last things you see is the big fat opera singer.
One other tidbit about the Haunted Mansion inside is that there's a hidden hidden Donald, actually, in there.
On the chair, right by the candelabra.
Right. As in the, one of the beginning rooms, when you see that room that goes on forever, there's the chair there that's got the gold design on it. When you look at it, it's really kind of a hidden Donald Duck.
Did not know that. I'll give you another one, though. I'll give you one more. In the dining room, when you see all the ghosts, the organ, the big pipe organ, is the organ from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
No way. Huh.
Yep. I'll have to check that one out. Cool.
Yep.
Well, couldn't let that
now,
go.
I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's I don't know which one's real. But apparently, I guess it's probably the one in Disneyland, and maybe this is a replica of it. But one of them is supposedly is the organ from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea that was on the ship, on the Nautilus.
Very cool. Love those facts.
Does anybody miss that ride?
All the time. I just posted a video on, and I probably cut this out, but I posted a video on YouTube of us diving on it at Castaway Cay. They have one of the subs sunken out there for the snorkeling tour.
Oh, really?
And it's great, because the video is perfect. It has us coming from the distance, you see it in the distance, and it gets closer, and you can tell it's the sub laying on its side. You can see where the entryways were in the front and the back.
What?
It's incredible.
Oh, that is so cool. But,
aren't they still using the ones in Disneyland? Isn't there like a new attraction?
They built
they're
ones.
Brand new. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was funny, because a long time ago, and again, YouTube can be your friend, I saw some video of the original Disneyland submarine ride there. They had really modern-looking, it looked like ballistic missile submarines there. They were silver, and they were very cool-looking, very modern. So I'm not sure exactly how the 20,000 Leagues came to Walt Disney World, or if it was always 20,000 Leagues, even in Disneyland or such. But it's cool seeing the difference in the different type of vehicles.
I mean, who wants 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea when you can have Pooh's playful spot?
Yeah, heavy sarcasm. I hear you. Well, we're going a little long, so I want to throw in my Magic Kingdom favorite, and we're going to finish up for tonight. For me, Magic Kingdom, knee-jerk, of course, another one where you say Space Mountain or Haunted Mansion or some of the rides you try to get to quickly because they fill up. However, my favorite is the Pirates ride, Pirates of the Caribbean. Yes. Always been my favorite since the first time I walked into the parks. And everything they've done to it in the past 10 years have just improved it. I think that part of Adventureland now is almost its own little subdivision of Adventureland, because along with Pirates, you have the Captain Jack experience there, where a live Captain Jack and his mate comes out and instructs you on how to be pirates. They also have the new Pirate Games, where you can get your map and follow the clues around Adventureland, and then Pirates itself. Pirates is, again, another classic dark ride, like we mentioned the Haunted Mansion was. And this is a ride that has its history going way back to Walt Disney. This was a ride that was actually so good that when they didn't bring it to Walt Disney World, when the park opened, that was the big cry, is where was the Pirates ride? And they ended up bringing it in a little later. And it's been great ever since. The whole idea with the movies coming along, to me it didn't really make much matter. I thought the ride was incredible anyway, but the movies, I think, added to it. And when the first Pirates movie came out, seeing all the different references to the ride was incredible. Jack in jail, yeah, trying to get the dog to give him the keys, and the different things in it. I think the movies have made the ride better in that now in the first scene when you have the ship shelling the town, well, it's Barbossa shelling the town. It makes a little bit more sense than a random pirate perhaps shelling the town. And the Captain Jacks in there are just stupendous. They're just incredible. They're very realistic. And actually, they almost make some of the other characters not look as realistic.
You know, one of the things, and I agree with you 100%, and one of the things I really think is important is that they really could have kind of gone overboard with the movie stuff, but they didn't. They kind of used some restraint, and they threw some of the movie stuff in there, but they didn't let it take over the original attraction.
Yep, I agree.
Which is important, because if they would have, you know, taken over, if the movie stuff would have taken it over, I'd be like, wow, they ruined a great ride. But they kind of used it just to accent it, and I think they've used a lot of restraint and did a really good job.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
One of the things I thought was kind of cool about that ride is one of the Imagineers that helped create that wanted a piece of himself on the ride. So I don't know if you know that one pirate that's hanging over the, I want to say the bridge area. I think he's got a bomb in his hand. His legs, legs hanging down. Yeah, the hair in the leg is actually the hair from the Imagineer.
They glued onto.
They glued onto that pirate so he could have a physical piece of himself on the ride.
Wow.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because that was my next thought, was that one of my oldest memories of Walt Disney World was being on Pirates, going under that bridge and looking up at that pirate and his leg, and that leg having the hairs coming out of it and being dirty was the most realistic thing I've ever seen. And it took them a little while to convince me they weren't real people on that ride when we got out of it.
Yep, agreed. That's the same exact way with me. That's, you know, one of the first rides that I ever went on at Disney World when I was a kid. And me and my dad in back in the room after a day at the park talking about how realistic and how awesome that leg was.
Well, another thing that's really, really cool, and it depends on what side you go onto. I think you have to go onto the right side of the entrance to see the pirates, the skeletons, with the chess match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Mark Davis was involved in building that, and he was a big fan of chess. So the story is, if you look at it, they actually went to some great chess player, and they found a game that ended in a stalemate, and the chess pieces are set up in a stalemate.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they're doing. They're just sitting there looking at the board, and they're at a stalemate. So they couldn't, neither one of them had another move, so they just sat there and stared at the board.
That's funny.
And there's another thing, going back to the Haunted Mansion, a lot of the stuff, the one in Walt Disney World, because Mark Davis was such a chess fan, a lot of the little, I don't know what you call them, but the little spires and stuff on top are designed like chess pieces.
Oh, I noticed that before. I didn't know why.
Yeah.
Like pawns or something, or bishops.
Yeah, like some of them are pawns, some of them are bishops. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, always looking for those little things.
Next time I go to Disney World, I'll have so much,
you got so much to look for.
To look for now.
Two little tidbits about, and this is just so we can finish, but Haunted Mansion made me think of it. They have the wait times outside the Haunted Mansion. They also do this for Tower of Terror. If the wait time is 13 minutes, that means there is no wait time. They don't use 5 or 10, they use 13.
That's neat. I did not know that.
And because I guess they're so scary creepy that they can get away with 13. But, well, so that was pretty much our favorite rides from the different parks. Well, that's it for show number 5. Thanks for listening. If you have any comments or want to tell us what your favorite rides are at the parks, please email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, and we'd really like to hear about what you think. We'd also like to find out if anybody's interested in coming on the show with us. So that's it for this week, and we'll be talking to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.
See you guys.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me. We pillage, we plunder, we rifle and loot. Drink up, me hearty, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Drink